It's May 25th, 2019, and some things change, but some things never do. I'm Six Detmar.
And I'm Nick Cease, and this is Bottle Crow Reborn, a Dota 2 not podcast, where we occasionally, very occasionally, talk about Dota 2 or other things on a podcast.
Nick, we've been gone a while.
We have been. We've been touring the world, enriching
why
our spirits.
Is that? And why is it your fault?
Well, I was on another podcast where you made me talk about a Korean game show.
There's that. It's actually my fault is the secret.
Is
the
it,
not
though?
So secret secret. Well, I messaged you and I was like, Nick, I don't want to talk about Dota anymore. Which is actually not okay, that's not true. What happened was I was like, I don't want to talk about Valve anymore. Cause I got to a point where I was mad enough at Valve that I didn't feel good running a podcast about how much I love a Valve product.
I see.
And also I was playing less Dota and I was like, you know, that comes and goes. It's fine. But like Valve has done enough things that I think are shitty that it's like, I don't really want to be their hype man anymore.
Hey man, you know? Things come, things go up, things go down, things are hot and they're cold. They're yes and they're no, they're in and they're out, they're up and they're down. They're wrong when they're right. That just came out of me. I'm surprised I know so many lyrics. Yeah, I mean, I've kind of been the same way about like serious Dota. I guess let's just get into it here on your grind, Six. I still play Dota a lot, but I have played 2 solo queue games this season, and I think it's about to reset. That was just recently. It's miserable. Turbo with friends. That is the way I play Dota largely these days.
I uninstalled Dota.
Yeah. You need those gigabytes.
Well, it's not that I needed the gigabytes. It's that I wanted to send a message.
Exactly.
Sending a message.
Imagine if there was a tracker, like, you know, for top players for like the most undownloaded game. They call that deleting. They don't call it you don't send the bits back when you delete things. Just FYI. Imagine if you did, though. Imagine if there was one copy of the bit. This is called a Bitcoin. Never mind.
You know, I mean, they do track whether or not something is installed on a server side.
Really? I mean, I guess.
I mean, like, because you can use your app and it'll be like, this game is installed. This game is not.
Yeah. God, with your PC. The Steam app. Truly, truly garbage, right?
Yeah. No, it's terrible.
I don't know if we've ever
talked
about
the new Steam Chat app. I think,
really?
This month. Yeah.
Well, so, and they'll just abandon the old one and all the features you used to have on that. We'll just go away.
Exactly. But so besides Dota, what have you been playing? I've literally played zero Dota since, well, not since we last recorded. Since we've last recorded,
really?
I have played zero Dota.
Okay. We did record it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Turbo, a lot of Turbo, the occasional ranked party match. I've kind of started playing Rainbow Six Siege a little more just because the friend group I play Dota with started to. We could just morph into a Rainbow Six Siege podcast because it is just as miserable to learn as Dota, if not more. I would say absolutely much more miserable to learn.
I've played a decent amount of Rainbow Six Siege. I mean, like, you know, by my standards, I am not a member of the Rainbow Six Siege community, right? But I played, I don't know, I probably played a couple dozen hours. And I got to a point with my friends where I was like, listen, like, I have my friend Ty, who, whenever Ty gets into a game, they just play so much of it that they become an expert in anything. And I was like, listen, Ty, you're the one who got me into Rainbow Six Siege, and I'm having fun, but is there a loadout option where I cannot have a gun? And they were like, no. No, Six, that's not a thing. I was like, okay, because there are enough of characters who have like support-like abilities that I was like, what if I was just a full support? You can't.
Right?
You
it would be very useful, and often that is the only thing I contribute, except I die early and stop being able to do that because I try to shoot.
Yeah, I just want to be, depending on whether I'm on attack or defense, I want to be either Doc or Dokkaebe, and I just want to either, like, stand back and heal people, or ring, ring, here's your phone, Those are the only two ring, things ring, I want to do in that phone. Game. Yep. It's so fun.
When you get to do things in the game, it is very fun. However, you can die in one bullet from one person with much better ping than you, who you often don't even see. Or maybe, you know, you don't see them because they've punched a bullet-sized hole in a wall, or like two bullet-sized hole. And then one of them, their muzzle sticks out of, or the, another bullet comes out of, and one of them, they have like their eye pressed against or something. It's insane.
Yep, no, that happens.
Yeah. Spawn peeking, like you spawn in at the beginning of rounds for people who haven't played. So you have like defenders and attackers, and you switch every round. And so the defenders get to set up and do whatever, and then the attackers spawn. And sometimes the defenders can like run out of a window, and it, you know, you'll spot them after a few seconds, but they get to run out a window, and for a few seconds they will just pre-fire where they know people are going to run out of, because there's only a certain number of spawn spots. And they'll just do that, and they'll just gobble your team up, gobble your fun up.
Yeah. Yeah, the game has some problems.
Yeah, you know, it sounds very tempting, doesn't it? Very good advertising. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you want good advertising.
I do.
You know what my grind has been?
I do, actually.
Yeah, you do. I've been playing a lot of Dragon Ball FighterZ.
For the PlayStation.
Yeah, I've been getting, although it's on Xbox and Switch and PC, I've been getting pretty hard into it, to a point where like I'm climbing up the ranks in rank matchmaking, and I went to a LAN. They don't call them LANs, they just call them locals, but I went to a local. I went
local to area Wednesday network, fights. Perhaps?
That's just like a local tournament is usually what they okay. But because you don't really need the internet because you can just have two controllers plugged into one game.
I was going to say, oh, they're making a name up. It's like, no, the LAN name is made up. Go on.
Yeah, it's just true. It's truly lagless. You just plug in your sticks. Well, it's okay. There's input lag. But
speed
so
of light.
I went at, to Wednesday Night Fights, which is a like a huge tournament. I'd been watching like Wednesday Night Fight streams for like a decade. And then I was like, wait, that's like
that's right around the
half
corner.
An hour away. And I figured that out 2 years ago and was too scared to go. but I was like, you know what? No, I'm really serious about getting good at Dragon Ball FighterZ. And that means I have to go and get the shit kicked out of me. And that's what I did. It was great. One funny thing is, so in order to attend, you have to sign up for at least one tournament. Mm-hmm. You can't just go to play casuals. They won't let you in. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really want to sign up for a tournament. I'm not good enough. And it's like, okay, I could sign up for one of the two free tournaments. I could play like Lethal League, right? That game's fun. And I was like, you know what? If I'm going, I'm going to go. And so I signed up for Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Nice.
And I was very surprised because I didn't need to enter any info. Like, I was like, do you want to use your login? I was like, I've got a login? Okay, sure, great. So I just used my login. And I signed up, and I was like, okay, great, here's your details, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wait a minute. My name here appears to be listed as magical.6 because apparently this site's server login is linked with whatever 82L uses, and so my last username on 82L, which was magical for, you know, magical girls, I guess, our old team, .6. And so, not only was I that, like, on if you check the online brackets, there were fucking tournament organizers who would walk around and it's like, okay, it's my turn for a match, and they'd shout, Magical Six! Like, yep, that's me.
Wow. That's not even that strange of a name. That's a good, that's a decent name.
Yeah, it's not bad.
The Magical Six, Magnificent Seven, the Meh Eight.
Mm-hmm. So ultimately, I went. So it's a double elimination tournament. I went 0-2 in my first match, and then I went 1-2 in my second. So I wiped out, like, but I took a game which I honestly didn't expect for my first time.
Yeah.
And I feel like the amazing thing, my takeaway was like, it was like the Predator moment, right? I was like, you fuckers bleed. I can do this. So I'm going to practice a lot more. I'm really excited. I also had to accept, because there was a point like like 2 weeks beforehand where I was like, okay, my team is really stupid. I need to get like a smart team that people will respect, right? And so I started practicing a new team. And then like a couple of days beforehand, I was like, hey, you know, like, friend Alan, you also play this game. Why don't you have a few matches with me? And if I play Alan on my main team, often I don't lose a character. I just thrash Alan. But I was like, let me try out my new team. And I was losing all night. And I was like, I can't do this. I have to
you gotta accept. Go with your gut.
I have to accept that I'm trash and play a trash team, which for anyone who knows the game is Vegito Blue, Broly, and Android 16, which is like, okay, Vegito's a character who just like, the fun thing with him is if any, like, they have a concept of like attacks clashing, right? Mm-hmm. Like if two people hit buttons at the same time and they collide, there's like a clash that happens. Vegito basically always wins clashes. And so with Vegito, you just hit buttons. It's very fun. Mm-hmm. And then Broly has what's called armor. So, like, if you hit him, you don't stop his move from coming out most of the time. So mm-hmm. Broly just, like, throws a punch, and you punch him in the chest, and he doesn't care, and he keeps going.
Okay.
And then Android 16... Nick, have you ever, like... Have you ever had mozzarella sticks?
Yes.
You get them with, like, that nice marinara sauce, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you just grab a stick and you dunk it right in there.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that the marinara sauce is the ground. And the mozzarella stick is your opponent. And that's what Android 16 does. He just grabs them and shoves them into the ground over and over. Often from a great height.
Seems good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good time.
Hmm. Oh, so, you've reminded me, since we last recorded, I was playing a bunch of Street Fighter V, and I don't know, there's got to be something psychological or something. Playing against computers was just, like, boring. Like, it didn't appeal to me, so I was just, like, doing casuals or ranked online. That game made me so angry.
Yes. Like,
when you lose, because... Fighting games online are god-awful, I think. There's just absolutely abysmal. I'm sure there's ways to do it better and worse, especially worse. But, like, it was so miserable. It's just like, oh, I have to adapt to this person's playstyle, not only for what characters we're playing, but also what ping we both have. And you have to, like, like sense that. It was absolutely awful. So I uninstalled the game and, like, put my controller far away. So
it's
that's
an infuriating
that's what's
game.
Happened.
It's an infuriating game. Like every loss, I like this is not like a great reflection on me, but like a lot of my losses in Street Fighter, I would be like fuming with my stick, and I'd be like, "But I'm smarter than you."
I don't know what it is. It's. Yeah, like playing against friends, totally fine. Like in any fighting game, it's, you know, it's fun. I'm not a person who gets upset like playing friendlies or whatever. But then like just going online and having all that shit done to you. And like occasionally, I started actually going not 50-50, but like a little bit better. But I just couldn't do it. Like I'm not a person who gets angry at video games almost ever. And this was just doing it like repeatedly every time I would play the game. I would end it. When I was ridiculously mad, I'm like, you know what? Nope, no more of this.
Yeah, it's an infuriating game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, that's what we've been doing instead of Dota, though you've also been doing some Dota, as you mentioned. And I actually installed Dota today.
Oh, gigabytes.
Yeah, so I guess I'll be coming back and playing some. One of the reasons I reinstalled, though not really the main reason, we'll get to the main reason, but is because I actually still haven't tried Mars. I haven't seen him played. So I saw his toolkit. He seems very like he's there to fill a kind of like an axe-like role, but you have played Dota. What is Mars like?
I mean, people joked that he's Bristlefront, but it's almost, it's like Bristleback with more stuns, with more control.
Hmm.
So, like, he can't keep running at you in the same way Bristle can over, like, 30 seconds. But for a good 15 seconds, he's going to disable you and you're not going to damage him. And he just, like, he wants to go in. Just in. That's basically the way you play him. Because, you know, he takes less damage from the front and sides, which is a huge range of, like, around him. It's not just, like, oh, okay, 180 degrees is his front. He has like the side thing that is very far around his back. So you just like, you take literally no damage. Like laning against a PA as Mars is amazing. It's quite the experience because the sound they make, no matter what damage an attack would do, like him taking damage from the front makes this little donk sound. And so you just get a lot of that, and he's just like, his shield is vibrating and he's not moving. His HP bar will just stay put. It's amazing. Highly recommend.
That sounds like exactly what Dota needs, to be honest. That kind of like, I think the thing that we need, and this is from like a little break, and so this is both like, oh, I have the wisdom of being detached, and also I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about because I've been detached, right? But like, the thing we have that like League of Legends doesn't is that our fights are great, and theirs are bad, and so like, create more fights. I'm here for it.
Right. I mean, his ultimate is a fight.
Yeah. It's,
you know, he was just added to Captain's Mode in the patch 7.22. Mm-hmm. So, like, the fact, you know, it's a big AoE disruptor, or disruptor E, I guess, too. But the fact that you can't attack over it is kind of crazy. So, like, ranged heroes can't attack over it or through
it.
Weird. It's really weird. I only kind of noticed it at the beginning because then everyone just kind of started getting everyone in the ultimate. Nobody was left outside. But the things that pro players could do with that is, you know, that is an ultimate that is amazing at every point in the game because of that type of thing. So,
but can you still cast spells into that area?
Yeah, you can cast spells, but like a Medusa could just stand outside and nothing would happen. Or Sniper would try to be Sniper outside and nothing would happen.
Huh.
I mean, shrapnel and all that crap, but you know.
So you need to cast it on a tower when you're taking high ground.
Big brain.
All right. See, yeah. I already found out the strat. I already broke the meta. Sorry, Valve. Back for 5 minutes. I've already ruined everything. Okay, well, let's talk about 7.22 because you were like, hey, do you want to talk about like the notes? And I was like, oh, sure. The notes you wrote up? Got it. And I opened up the notes and I was like, you haven't written any notes. And I was like, wait, there's a new patch. It's like, oh, of course. Of course there's a new patch. I have been gone for a million years. Of course there's a new patch. And I looked it up and I was like, oh my God.
Right? The first line, add a new scepter upgrades for all of the remaining heroes without an upgrade. It's just like, what? I love their casual bullet point, like mic drops.
And also, scepters can now be consumed without a fucking alchemist. You can just eat anybody can 2K. Do that. And then also Roche drops the scepter buff.
Yeah. Roche is just getting big. Like, he's eventually going to be the shop.
I honestly, I basically love any time to make Roche more important because still my least favorite experience in Dota. And this is, you know, I admit fully this is a lack of my own skill, though usually not because I'm the support. It's not my fucking fault. is having the lead but not being able to crack high ground.
Yeah.
I hate that so much more than anything else in Dota. So, if that sounds like another way to crack high ground, like if everyone suddenly has an Aghanim's upgrade, like, you don't fucking give a shit.
Yeah, it's what, I'm trying to remember. Roche, like, I'm talking TI 4 or 5, TI 5 and before, wasn't it way more important?
Yeah.
Is this just like rose-colored glasses?
I mean, like, I think there was a phase where, I mean, like, there's definitely been power creep in Dota, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I definitely think there was, like, earlier on in earlier TIs, it was like, if you got the Aegis, like, you killed the enemy carry once, you can't do it a second time.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't have the resources. And now that's just not true, often.
You have all the resources, all the time. Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, there are definitely times where you get, you know, raid boss status, and, like, the fact that you kill someone once is a miracle, and you see that Aegis effect, and you're like, okay, let's just GG now. But there are also plenty of times, even, you know, again, it's been a while, but, like, where I have felt the experience of, like, okay, we put him down, and it's just like, okay, just stand there. He's not going anywhere. He's dead.
Yep.
We got him.
If you can't move around, you're basically dead anyways. Yeah. Yep, that's the same. In high ground can be just as hard to break. They made it harder this patch.
Yeah.
Slightly. Yeah.
But they also gave everyone eggs, so you can get the lead to in order to take high ground. So that'll be great.
Yeah. Have you looked through all the eggs, I assume?
Yes, I have. So let's talk about some of these changes, right?
Yeah.
First off, Wind Ranger.
Oh, I knew it. I knew it. I saw that and I immediately just like my heart sank for you.
I don't know how I feel.
What is it? Yeah.
Well, so first is what the fact that they got rid of her existing axe. So her existing axe affected the cooldown and also the damage reduction, right?
On her ult.
They baked the cooldown reduction into levels of her ult. It's not quite as good, but it's like, okay, you don't need an axe for the cooldown reduction. That's good. That seems strong. The not reducing the damage reduction until a talent at level 25 is brutal.
Yeah.
That hurts a lot.
My Siege Ranger.
Yeah, I'll have to see how she does in this meta. Call back to my Siege
Ranger, yeah.
But, like, that sounds really hard. That sounds really rough. Yeah. However, they reworked her scepter, so now it adds two charges to Wind Run. Have you tried this patch out?
I have tried, but there's so many eggs I haven't played. Yeah. Much.
So I'm unclear if this is saying like you have a max of two charges or if it adds two charges so you have a max of three.
I think it's two flat.
That would make
it
sense.
It is confusing. Yeah.
But it also increases movement speed by 45%. So Wind Run is ability that keeps getting better and better. And I definitely think combined with the way it now integrates with Focus Fire and the slow and everything, that sounds fairly strong. I don't know what this does to, like, it doesn't make Wind Ranger very much of a better carry, right? Because it's like, okay, yeah. If you're going for Wind Ranger Ags, why are you not playing Weaver, basically? And I guess, like, maybe this is a buff to, like, support Wind Ranger, or maybe they want this new build of Wind Ranger where you're just, like, you're using Wind Run to disrupt. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little confused at their angle.
Yeah, I mean, they got rid of the level 10 talent that made Wind Run slow a bunch more, and now it's minus 2 seconds Shackle Shot, which is not awesome.
Better?
Feeling.
No, it's great. It's great.
I guess, but you know. I mean, Wind Run slow sucked, absolutely, but...
Yeah,
I mean
Shackle Shot's
like,
just such a good
10.
Skill.
Yeah, so. It's probably good for level 10. But it's like, I don't... Like, what if you built her tanky? Like, Mjolnir and tanky or something? I don't know.
I mean, it is nice that you don't, like, Ags no longer feels mandatory to me. I guess we'll have to get my hands on, but it's like, it is kind of freeing that you don't have to build Ags, but the reason you don't have to build Ags is because you're bad now. So I don't know.
Because it won't help anyways, yeah.
What other Ags do you want to, what do you want to talk about? Let's alternate.
One more depressing thing about Wind Ranger. You'll notice a theme that this might be the Need for Speed patch, because on a lot of Ags, they got rid of the move speed cap for people. Wind Ranger did not get that, as far as I can tell. I tried to look at the tooltip. It doesn't say anything also. So that movement speed increase of 45% is great, I guess, but it doesn't go over the cap, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, you already hit the cap pretty easily as Wind Ranger.
Right, so... I don't know.
Okay.
In terms of other Ags, there's so many.
We'll alternate. You take one that you find interesting, and then I'll do one.
Animage. So his ult now.
Yeah. Okay.
If you kill somebody with Mana Void, right, or you know, within 1 second or something like that, first off, it makes it a 1 second stun, so it's now 1 second BKB piercing stun, which is nice. But if you kill somebody with this, it adds 70 seconds to their highest cooldown ability once they respawn. So it actually increases it by like 90, 110 seconds, 120 seconds. Like, it is bonkers.
So does it... Oh, I'm curious. You've experimented with this one?
A little.
If something wasn't on cooldown, would it put it on cooldown?
Yes, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so what this is an Animage end the game tool, because like, okay, you jump on the Tidehunter and kill him before he gets Ravage off. Who cares if he can buy back?
I think so. Yep.
That's
what it seems
messed
like.
up. I think that's a good thing to exist, but that's messed up.
It is absolutely fucked up. Yep.
Whew, wow. You excited for it? You having fun?
I've never really gotten back on the Animage train. Well, that's not true. When they made the change to Battle Fury, I peeled off of PA because rest in peace, Cleave. And I did play a bunch of Animage without Battle Fury. And I still think the build is it's decent. It's seen the light of day a few times, my Vlads into Mjolnir. And I have no regrets.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough.
Yeah.
So, Tiny. This is the dumbest axe, perhaps. No, but it's up there. So you now get an ability called Tree Volley, where every 0.4 seconds, a random tree within a 525 range of you is thrown towards a targeted area. So basically, you ground target an area, and then you hit it, and he just starts chucking trees like crazy. I saw a great gif of a Tiny getting sprouted by Nature's Prophet and then hurling every single one of those trees at him.
Like, thank you.
This is ridiculous. This is one of the ones that made me be like, okay, is this like a comedy update?
Right. It was a very just like, fuck it. We're gonna do it. We're gonna add eggs for everybody update. Which I can appreciate.
Yeah. It's very, very silly. I don't know. Like, I feel like with our ags of the week, we've run the gamut of great ideas to, like, okay, let's try and, like, find the real, like, balanced, interesting, eye-opening design. And they definitely were just like, hey, get Ice Fraud in here.
Yep. Just like, come on in, buddy. Yep.
Yeah. That's a lot there. There's a lot.
Yep.
What do you wanna tackle next? What's your next ags?
You gotta mention DK. So there's now a fourth Elder Dragon form, the Black Dragon, which just like amps everything. And it also increases your attack range and gives you some magic resist, because why the hell not?
Yeah.
And you get big. You get strong. Even bigger. So you are a very large dragon.
Man. Definitely looks very strong. Mm-hmm. Again, just ways for people who have the money to be like, no, I am breaking this fucking base.
If you have the means, I highly recommend you pick one up.
This one is, I don't know what to make of this one. It's just such a strange idea. Lycan's Ags, every time there's a wave of creeps that spawn, one of the three waves will include two wolves. You don't control them, but they are technically yours.
For like the howl buffs and stuff, yeah. Like,
and kill credit, I assume.
Like, utter garbage. Absolute garbage.
Okay, so there are a couple of things about this that are funny. One, so presumably they'll have the invisibility, right?
Probably.
So you won't be able to see which wave has them until they attack, and that's like, that's not useful, but that's just really funny. And then just like, I just don't understand.
Like, hold on, you know, get Ice Rod in here and we can ask him, right?
I mean, I guess it's like activating the Drow Aura, right? It's like chip away at their base. But it's,
like, also giving the enemy more gold?
It's baffling. It's so weird.
Imagine spending $4,200 to just send more garbage once every three waves.
And then you're like, wait, this is taking up a slot. Maybe spend another $2,000.
Spending 6,400 US gold coin in order to shovel gold into your enemy's pockets and XP.
It's a strange choice.
It's like an anti-eggs. It's amazing. Because by the time you get this, they'll be able to just kill the wave, right?
Yeah, presumably.
It's not like, oh, we gave him a new skill. Nope.
I mean, I guess it could be good in situations where it's like there's a standoff and you need to force them back to base. It's like, that'll happen more frequently because your wolves will push the lane.
More frequently once every three waves?
No, every wave it happens. It's just which lane it happens on.
Oh, one of the three creep beds, right? Yeah. And you can't control it.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not saying it's good. I know, you're trying. Saying, like, you're
trying. I'm really just trying to
give them
that.
Some credit. Oh, boy.
Monkey Kings is another amazing one.
Yeah.
So every 3.5 seconds, you get one of his ultimates, little like monkey soldier things, untargetable guys. And they last for 12 seconds. So you get like 3.5 of these guys out, right? And they just kind of like go around with you and they can attack anything. So like buildings, as long as you're within some range of them. And it's awesome. Like you're there, you're getting your procs on people, you're slowing people. It's just like you can be running away from people as they're getting hit by your little soldier dudes. It's a great feeling.
That sounds pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Templar Assassin is now actually an assassin.
Finally.
Because she can teleport to her psionic traps now, and she can do it while melded. The trap will detonate so people can see that. It's not like they don't know you've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
But they still would need detection, and you can just sort of pop up in front of them in the trap. That'll be the best part, is like traps will go off, and you're like, was that just a trap going off, or is she here? I have no idea.
Hello, crickets.
I love adding mind games to Dota. More mind games, please.
More. Let me look up one thing on this lady. Oh, I cannot. Of course. So, Phantom Assassins, right? Imagine PA getting an eggs. Blur is now instant cast time, cooldown of 12 seconds, and it applies a dispel. So she's like a little baby slurk. Get a little slurk in it.
Yep.
And then anytime you get a hero kill, your abilities are refreshed because we're fucking League of Legends, I guess.
I guess so.
It's amazing. Imagine a triple dagger, right? And you kill somebody, and then you can just triple dagger again, and then you can jump on them. And then there you are. And then you can blur again, I guess. So now you have two dispel. It's Ice Fog wants the game to end.
Yeah. No, I love that goal. That's a great goal.
I can get behind that flag.
I don't know. Last one I want to... I mean, like, there are a bunch more. Last one I will throw out here is Arc Warden... who just makes runes?
Runes.
It's runes. Just the full selection of runes. Mm-hmm. Just like hit a button and a rune appears in front of you.
Imagine spending $4,200 once again to get a bounty rune.
Well, if you're like, listen, if you're a support and you're like, I gotta get money for the team,
and the best way to do that.
Or like, I mean, this is another dumb idea, right? Mm-hmm. But like, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
Imagine like, okay, you do Roche with your team and you're like, okay, we got Roche, and they give the Ags buff to you and you're like, thanks? This isn't going to help us take high ground, and you hit the button and a double damage rune spawns and your carry goes, no, but that will.
Just like takes it from
because your carry is apparently thanks, just mate. Like a, you know, like a 70s action hero.
We're from Gears of War.
We gotta get to the rigs. Don't
go. Yep.
Jack, cut the door. You like my Gears of War voice?
Excellent, very good. I'll hire you. I guess my last one will be Slardar, who so Slytherin crush now makes a puddle. You're the puddle hunter.
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing.
So you get the super move speed, and then you get like, oh, is it like 25 HP regen, 12 armor, and 40% status resistance? Just welcome to my swamp. What are you doing in it?
And also, you get a movement speed buff for the length of that tiny puddle.
It's a huge. It's a 550 AOE.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like it's bad. It's just so stupid.
That's like the story of half of these eggs, at least.
Yeah. Whew. There's a lot to... There's so much
plenty
to
of horrible
about.
Ones now, too. It's not like they're like, oh, we finally perfected it. No, they just gave everybody an eggs.
Yeah. No, they're like, wait, what if we didn't care if they were good?
Yeah. It's like, no, we just got to get it out the door.
Yeah. I hope that Windranger gets some adjustments because I mean, it's not just because I want Windranger to be good. I have always disliked the Windranger ags
mm-hmm.
because I don't like the idea of ags that are essential.
Yeah. I think
I like it when an axe is a choice.
It's a good thing for AA to have, I guess, where it's like, oh, this is one thing that makes you super strong, but to have it on multiple people or too many people, it's just like, okay, you're very boring design.
That's also why I want them to change the Lycan one, because everyone's just going to take that. It's so strong. Right?
You're just going to have all your waves pushed. Wolves are going to need so much armor. One more that we forgot. Grimstroke.
Yeah, I didn't know what to make of this one.
It's amazing. It's maybe one of the best ones. So you make an illusion of an enemy hero that lasts only 20 seconds, but it's magic immune, has 30% boosted move speed, and deals 150%, so deals 50% bonus damage. And it's only on a 35-second cooldown.
It does seem a little broken.
Magic immune. You can have a magic immune Terrorblade illusion that, okay, takes 100% more damage, but deals 50% more damage.
Yeah.
You can have
it's him like erase Terrorblade for you.
Exactly. It's like, yeah. Spell immune. I can't sunder it. I'm fucked.
Well, spell... Oh, right. Sunder doesn't
anymore. Yeah, it changed it. Yep.
Yeah, they changed it months and months ago, and I've just been gone. And I forgot. Yeah, I don't know. This is all nuts, and I'm glad they're just like I'm honestly glad we're at the point with Dota where they're just like, just fucking do things. I don't care. Yeah. Like Ice Frog is like, I've given up on perfect balance. Just ship new things.
Get it out the fucking door. Yep.
And I'm interested. So,
I realized we left something behind on the road of this episode 6.
I noticed as well.
Mars, first son of heaven, spent a long existence waging endless war and saw countless more crusades waged beneath the barrier of his old name. What is his old name, 6?
Ares.
Wars of conquest and of vengeance, just and unjust. .. Always cruel. So much like his father, Mars indulged his basest impulses with inclinations much more monstrous than those of Zeus, and he inflicted suffering untold. I actually didn't know he was this much of a bad guy. But as the epochs vanished beneath him, the selfish ways of his father, the ways of many amongst his godly kin, they who judged him despicable, eventually began to ring hollow. War for its own sake was no longer enough to satisfy his desires. For the first time in his ageless days, the god of war began to question to what ends he swung his glorious spear. As the fates would have it, his solution came easy. He must wage war for a larger purpose, and inspire more than mere savagery and sorrow at the sight of his crest. He must at last lay claim to the mantle of leadership that is his birthright, for the time has come to burn down the pantheon of the old age and build a just new empire atop the ashes of his kin. Only then might he find satisfaction and make the glory of Mars evident to all. This says nothing about the ancients. This really is just... I have never read this before. It has nothing to do with the ancients. Excellent. Great. Mars, the first son of heaven. Aren't you so glad you also got to experience that with me?
Yeah, no, it was very moving. I'm crying.
Moving you to your pillow to go to sleep.
Exactly. So, it's time to move on to the next part.
Where we celebrate birthdays. Happy birthday to Blitz. Okay, no. No, you go.
No, we can, go ahead. No, I mean, this won't take too long. Yeah, happy birthday, Blitz. Yep. 20, really? 21?
29. On the 21st, he turned 29.
Oh, okay. I misread your
thing. There was nobody for today, so,
I was like, is he a fucking child? What's happening?
No, but Sanego apparently just turned 21, or 22.
Sanego. I believe that. I extremely believe that.
I feel like he's been around since day one. He probably has.
He's acted 12. Like a child since day one.
He was a child on day one.
Fair enough. Okay, and also black.
Yes.
Yeah. 25.
He seems big older. You know, wise for his age.
He definitely seems older than that. I agree with you. I'm older than Blitz, though.
Yeah. Black is barely older than me.
Dota is strange with its interactions with time.
I love that game.
So why did we actually come back? What was the thing that triggered us to say we have to record another ball.
I think it set you off. I've pulled back from the front, right? I'm not in the trenches of ranked Dota anymore or following the pro scene that much. Not that I ever did. But, you know, I poke my head out here and there, right? So I'm kind of up at the surface here. And then, you know, I heard some grumbling from below one day. It's like, oh, that's interesting. And so, you know, I was reading the news or whatever. And then I just hear this, like, I hear the ground shake. And I hear one of our old ancient silos that should have been, you know, long since welded shut. I heard the door open. And out popped Six, just, you know, shaking your head, breathing in the fresh, dank air. And you're like, Dota Auto Chess.
I can't. Okay. This is like, bear with me. Mm-hmm. All of us know this. I'm about to say stuff that all of us know, but I have to lay out the narrative so we can revel in the absurdity, right?
Yep.
Once upon a time, there was a game called Warcraft 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really popular, and one of the things that it did that people really liked was the idea of heroes. And there were a bunch of spin-offs that sort of, mm-hmm. like, mods within the game that made use of this. And then one of them was a game entirely focused on the heroes, and they called that Defense of the Ancients. And it got really popular, so much so, in fact, that it started to become more popular than Warcraft itself.
Mm.
Which is crazy. Imagine a mod becoming more popular than the game it's based on. That's amazing.
Insane.
And so eventually, after some other stuff, eventually the people who made Dota, specifically Ice Frog, were like, hey, what if we took this and we made it its own product? And they went to Valve, or Valve went to them, I'm not entirely clear on that. And they're like, hey, let's make Dota 2. And then the people who made Warcraft were like, whoa, 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 whoa. We own Dota because you made it within Warcraft and you signed our end user agreement. We own Dota. And there was a big old legal fight where Valve and Ice Frog righteously stood up and were like, no, we made this. We own Dota, not you. And they eventually came to a settlement where Blizzard could own Defense of the Ancient, but Valve could own Dota. Hooray.
And no more Skeleton King.
And no more Skeleton King.
Yeah.
And then, you know, years passed and Dota prospered. Dota did very well. And then Dota was like, you know, it's time to give back to the community. We're creating a mode where you can create. Where you're allowing custom games. So just as Dota was once a custom game of Warcraft 3, now you can create your own custom games. And who knows what the next Dota will be. And a little game came out called Dota Auto Chess.
Huh.
And it started to gain popularity. And it started to get more popular than Dota.
No.
And then Valve, who had supported Dota, mm-hmm. breaking out on its own from its corporate masters, said, whoa, 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 mm-hmm. whoa. You made Dota Auto Chess within Dota 2, therefore. How is this real?
All of it makes sense. The wheels of time.
How is this real, Nick?
Yep. Everybody knows, but basically, if you don't know, or if you've been in a missile silo for the past 6 months, Valve had the team who makes Dota Auto Chess, Studio Drodo, who also make the Gem TD mod. They flew him up to Valve in February, and they talked about trying to make it a spin-off game together. Basically, you know, standalone Dota Auto Chess, probably. And for whatever reasons, they didn't come to an agreement, and then Drodo's moving forward with this other thing they've been doing, which is a mobile game called Auto Chess, if you can believe it. And Valve said, yeah, and we're going to make our own spinoff of Dota Auto Chess. And they have a very, I'm sure everyone's read, a very positive statement, like positive attitude-wise statement. Like, you know, we had a conversation about working together. We flew the team up. You know, it was great. We had a fun time. We had great conversations, but we both came to the conclusion that Valve and Drodo could not work directly with each other. And then they have a statement at the end from the Drodo team being like, you know, we appreciate Valve's support and everything, and we wish both of us luck. And Valve says, oh, we'll be supporting, you know, them in whatever way we can possible with their spinoff. And they do link their spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's at.
Okay, so first of all, again, reestablishing that I don't have a lot of faith in Valve, right? I want to bet what happened was they were like, okay, you can make your own thing, but we're making it also, and if you don't like that, we'll fucking see you in court.
I saw a comment that made a lot of sense to me, that they wanted to buy Drodo, like their developers.
I'm sure.
They wanted to have them come in as Valve employees, but they would have to move to the US. That seems like a very likely scenario. Like, Valve doesn't do like remote offices, right? I think there was some Valve East thing that's like, oh, they didn't have a deal because they didn't want to move or something. It's like, you have to join the mothership. You can't be a spinoff.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And I mean, this thing in general happening is no surprise. Like, everyone knew something was going to happen, whether, you know, with Drodo or Valve or whatever. But
it's just the poetry of it all is is genuinely unreal.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Vigi Games, I guess. And I mean, Drodo's got, well, first off, the Dota thing is almost certainly going to be called Dota Underlords. They registered like some trademark for that recently, people saw, which is a strange name. Dota Underlords, yeah. Like, you have a hero called Underlord, Pitlord. I don't know. Very odd. They'll probably talk about it at TI coming up pretty soon, I guess.
Welcome to my game. It's me, Underlord, your favorite Dota character.
Are you going to be like that little thing in Hearthstone that speaks to you a lot?
Look at me making panicked phases because I think you're going to lose this match. Oh, I'm pointing at your deck. There are no cards.
Deck? Did you just say cards?
I'm sorry. Valve has never made a card game. I must have misspoken.
Oh, it's amazing. Amazing. Yeah, but this seems like a very Valve thing to do, to just spin off a new thing. Valve is amazing at making new things. Like, short-term, very high-intensity new things. So that's,
yeah,
what,
you're not
that's
wrong.
I bet what they'll do. They'll use Source 2, and they'll just make a Dota Underlords.
I just, like, okay, so there's so much, right? That they're doing this after how Artifact went is a little surprising to me.
Really?
Artifact did so bad?
Yeah. I mean, they just totally missed the boat. They missed the bomb.
And so I feel like, once again, being like, well, okay, well, our Dota spinoff that uses the mechanics of another successful game didn't work. What we really need is a Dota spinoff that uses the mechanics of another successful game. I don't know.
They're kind of separate, though. I mean, if one thing fails, you're not just going to give up, right?
No, of course. I don't know. And I mean, I guess I haven't seen their game. I don't know how different it'll be from Auto Chess, right? I'm making a lot of assumptions here, so that's unfair of me.
It is just a, you know, an unloved stepchild situation. It's like, oh, we're really excited. Everyone's been playing Dota Auto Chess, guys, and we're going to make our own. And then there's just like one comment. Remember Artifact, guys?
Yeah. The whole thing is just, I don't know. The cyclical nature of history is just like right in our face, and it's hard to ignore.
So Drodo, their game Auto Chess, their mobile game, it's got like almost 2 million like reservations or whatever on their website, which I assume just means it'll spam you with emails or WeChats or something when it comes out or as it is developed or something. But you know, they've got the 2 million of these, you know, clicks from people, I guess, but Tencent and a bunch of other people have also filed for Auto Chess, like, trademarks in China. I don't obviously know anything about law, but, you know, everyone's going to try to do this, and I don't know if Drodo can do it. Like, so Drodo, they have the original game, right, and they're developing the game, but their publisher is, well, the English-facing side is called Dragonist or Dragon Nest or something. Mm-hmm. And they're, I think, a spinoff and or just a rename of Long Mobile or like Long Yong Kuji. I used a you know, some translation there.
Sure, sure.
I couldn't find anything
long,
out.
Long, long.
That's what threw me off there. I was like, wait a second. The pinyin or whatever says long. I couldn't find anything out because same with Japanese. If you don't Google it in the native language, good fucking luck.
Sure.
There was a bunch of construction companies called like Long Yen, something. So no more info there. But they made a bunch of other games. Demo and Citus are like rhythm games. They're mostly mobile, yeah. But they have PlayStation Vita ports. Maybe that's big in China, like PS4 and stuff.
And yeah, then, the Vita's still doing all right over there. And really? Yeah. Well, I mean, it's starting to, you know, they're winding it down, but it did much better.
It just like seems like a thing from my middle school days. People having a Vita. Yeah. And then also Implosion, Never Lose Hope, just like a isometric hack and slash mobile game.
We'll say Citus is really good.
No, you've heard it. I was going to ask.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It seems mm-hmm. very much like Osu. That's the only rhythm game I've ever
like
done.
Osu Tactile when done? Or?
Osu, no. The rhythm game for, I think, only PC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is itself, never mind. Yep. yeah. So there's an upcoming legal battle. I don't know. I don't know the state of, I mean, my understanding as a ignorant dipshit Westerner is that legal battles in China are, especially over trademark, are a rough situation.
I'm also a very ignorant person. I'm pretty sure it's just like what contact you have in the government, probably.
Yeah, that's the impression I get.
Chinese.
That's the impression government. I get.
Very fast.
I've been reading Romance of the Three Kingdoms, and man, China's got some cool history, but also it's got some history with corruption? Which is weird. Unlike the US, which has no history with corruption.
Hey, guys.
Gosh. It's me, Stephen Buscemi. I don't sound like this.
Very strange. I found myself on the Dota 2 podcast where they don't talk about Dota 2. Bada bing, bada. And they also have plans for like esports stuff with it, apparently. I know there's lots of talk that I think doesn't mean anything. But in March, esportsobserver.com reported some stuff that they had like this big $1 million prize pool for an auto chess and explicitly also Dota Auto Chess tournament. I have no idea how that would work, but I don't know. We'll see.
Well, Nick, it's been a long road without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
Excellent.
When I see you again.
Excellent.
Let's kick it to Jackie's Chow.
Jackie now has an email posted, a business email posted back on his Twitter, I noticed the other day.
What?
Right. So, you never know.
We have sent some emails, Nick.
Right? You know, peek behind the curtain. I've sent an email that I found, I think, yeah, I somehow found an email of his, but it was like an old NP email that who knows if the forwarding was working and stuff like that. You never know. But, you know, I agreed with Six that we would never permanently end the show, destroy the feed, burn all the documents we have, just file, you know, binders and binders of documents for all of our AGS ideas, all of the secret things we've written down, transcribed from Ice Fraud and Surge. We wouldn't burn that, which, you know, the government has been trying to get us to do for ages, not to mention our fans were just like, God, just burn it. Just burn it. We
just
wouldn't
stop
do that.
Talking,
just
please.
Stop talking. Just end it. I can't reach the pause button, but, you know, do me a favor. We won't do that until we get an interview with Jackie Mao to talk about his favorite foods. Or just foods.
Yeah. No, we don't. Well, like, The one thing I will promise you is we will only ask about Dota as much as we have to keep him from leaving. Otherwise, okay. We will not talk about Dota with Jackie.
Honestly, anime would probably keep him around. He'd get more distracted, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean, like, honest, I bet he gets really tired about talking about Dota.
I'm sure. Like, who wouldn't? Talking about, right? your one thing all the time.
It's like, welcome to our anime podcast. Jackie, how do you feel about grilled cheese?
Like, oh, this is strange. I'll go along with it.
Well, Nick,
how would Jackie feel about grilled cheese, though, real quick?
I feel like Jackie is the kind of person who wants a white cheese, wants like a provolone,
mm-hmm.
or a mozzarella, and does not pair it with soup.
I feel just like
eats the sandwich.
I'm trying to formulate in my mind why. Why does this feel like? I feel like Jackie wouldn't eat grilled cheese. Like, it's, I can't see him eating a grilled cheese. He's a very down to earth, you know, simple kind of Dota player, anime lover guy. But for some reason, like, I can't picture him eating a grilled cheese. It just seems strange.
I mean, like, we've seen him eat pizza.
Oh, yeah.
So he likes cheese and he likes bread.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You think it's just not complicated enough for him? You think he'd want like a ham and brie kind of one?
He has enough money, he would just, like, do something else.
I could see him going to a fancy grilled cheese place.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, but you're right. He wouldn't like, grab bunny bread and some slices of American.
He wouldn't just, like, throw a broccoli and a tomato into a pot.
You wouldn't steal a broccoli.
A single broccoli.
Oh.
But let's, Nick, talk about our real about this week.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Well,
we didn't consult on this.
No, and I was like, oh my god, we forgot the most important part of the show. I'm going to talk about my okonomiyaki. Because I think you did one before about yours, but yours is Osaka style. I figured this out. You kept telling me, like, Nick, you got to make this. It's really good. You've told Jen, like, you got to make this. Eventually she did make it. It was really good. She's like, man, this is good. You got to make this, everyone. You got to make it. It's pretty good, guys. I ended up making Hiroshima style, which, you know, I only found out there was two main styles when I actually Googled it to figure out what to put in it. But like Osaka style, you mix, it's like a batter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you mix in cabbage and sausage or, you know, pork belly or stuff or whatever, right?
Right.
Did I get that legend? And then you smother it with okonomiyaki sauce, which is like a sweet, I don't know, teriyaki is the closest thing, probably. And mayonnaise and stuff, and it's great. I made Hiroshima style, which is, instead of mixing things into the batter, you make layers and you include yakisoba, fried noodles.
Mm-hmm.
It was, so I made this for like a work picnic barbecue thing. I was like, you know what? I'm going to make some strange dish because me and like a Chinese coworker have been just making spicier, strange things. And so I was like, okay, this is interesting. And then I got everything we needed. Oh. Huge lightning flash. I'm about to be struck by lightning here.
Wow, yeah.
I'm under attack. They don't want to let the secret get out. So you make like a crepe batter, and except you put a little bit of mirin in it is what I did. So it makes it a little more sweet, probably makes it more fluffy, I guess, because of alcohol. Woo. So you make a crepe batter, and you like make a crepe.
But that alcohol all cooks off.
Oh my god. I forgot. Throwback. High five. Plus 1 point. I'm going to give you a garnet for that. So.
Hell yeah.
Hey. And so you like make a decent sized crepe, or you spread out the batter, right? And you let it cook for a second, and then you start shoveling on everything, right? So I started off with ground up bonito flakes, which is like smoked fish flakes, kind of. So mm-hmm. I just like took a bag because I have little tiny bags of them, and I just kind of smushed it around until it was ground into a powder. And so I sprinkled a little bit of that over, and it gives it like a smoky, salty flavor. It's good. A huge handful of cabbage, a huge heaping handful of bean sprouts, and then like draped over the top. I did like a little bit of salt. I think they did some MSG in one too. You drape over pork belly. And so I had to like chop these slices of pork belly up. It's, you know, uncured bacon, right? So it's got amazing fat. And then, you know, you can let that cook until the bottom crepe gets somewhat crispy. It actually won't brown very much, strangely. Like, I used a bit of oil, and you do this all in a nonstick. I was not confident enough to try it on cast iron. it's nonstick and whatever, so I put oil on anyways, but it wouldn't really get brown. I don't know. But you drizzle a little bit more batter over the top to like situate things, kind of like glue it together a little bit. And then you do your darndest, you try to flip it over. So like usually
it goes badly.
Two spatulas and you like put them under. I was pretty decent, I feel like, with mine. I'm about to be attacked again. Here it comes. Wow, what a letdown. Okay, I'm just being assaulted by flashes of light. Sorry. Nope, there it is. And so you flip it and you just like let it cook. The fat from the pork is going to start leaking out. It's going to sizzle. It's going to brown. It's going to get amazing. Okay, at the same time, take another pan and start frying up some noodles. So I got the yakisoba type noodles where you just like fry them. They're a little bit pre-boiled. So just kind of like pre-fry them. So basic oil in a pan, right? Throw your noodles in, toss them about, make sure they're all coated in oil. Let it sit there for a sec. Pour in a little bit of okonomiyaki sauce. And then I did a little bit of Shaoxing wine, like Chinese cooking wine, dark cooking wine.
Sure, sure.
Because it's just awesome on everything. Did that, like kind of, you know, tossed it around, whatever. And then let it sit until the bottom starts to get crispy. And so it has this like circle of noodle crispy shape. Flip that over so that the other side gets crispy and you have this like noodle puck. And then you slide the okonomiyaki from your other pan into or on top of the noodles. And so it just kind of like sits there. It's really good. And then in the other pan, crack an egg and then spread it as much as you can to the size of your pancake. And then let that fry for, I don't know, like 30 seconds maybe. You don't want it to be fully cooked. And then you go ahead and you slide the okonomiyaki with the noodles back on top of the egg. And you flip everything over so the egg is on top now. And you let the bottom crepe, you know, warm up again, get crispier, whatever. There's nice pork fat in the pan now. And then you sprinkle over a bunch of green onions. And you slather the whole thing in that okonomiyaki, like teriyaki sauce, mayonnaise. And I did a little bit more of the bonito flakes on top.
Mm.
And then you just drool everywhere. It was really good. I cut it into slices as best you can. It's really not great to cut into small slices, turns out. Because you got all these layers. But you got all these layers. You got all these flavors. And you got all these textures. Mm. Extremely good.
So as it happens, I've been planning to make some Hiroshima-style okonomiyaki myself. Mm-hmm. And seeing your post about having done so, I went ahead and made the jump myself.
Oh, you did?
Yes. Yes. Oh. I posted a picture, actually.
That's
so right. there are a few things I did differently from you, some of which I recommend, some of which I don't. Right? One thing I recommend, get some Benishoga on top. Get some pickled ginger.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible.
I actually got a jar of it. And actually, I got... I think it's a different name. No, maybe it's not. I don't remember. The long strips of ginger.
Sure.
If you know
sure.
what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
The pickled
so you have
ginger,
the like,
yeah.
you know, shaved ginger things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would work better with the strips. But I actually got
yeah,
the
I think it probably
got
would.
The jar and didn't use it. I forgot. There's too many yeah. other things to put on. But it
just,
definitely could use like a kick.
Yeah. Now the other thing I did differently is and I want your advice on this. Where are you getting your pork belly from, and is it at all affordable?
It was... I still have half the package. I only used, like, two strips, maybe, per pancake. Like, one and a half or two strips per pancake. It was pre-sliced and, like, pre-tenderized, actually. So, like, they sold the strips, but they were kind of too thick for what I wanted. Because it's got to, you know, cook through in there. And I thought about just pre-cooking that, but I'm like, no... Right next to it is this like pre-tenderized thing where they basically just smashed it with one of the tenderizing hammers a while. And so it kind of spread out. It wasn't very much, no. I got it like an H Mart.
Huh. Okay, I need to look into that because my roommate who handles the shopping, I was like, I need pork belly. And they were like, do you know how expensive pork belly is? And I was like, I don't. I don't think it's very expensive. And they're like, we can't afford pork belly. I was like, okay, just... get me a fucking pork loin, I guess. and I cooked it like you cook chashu pork. So ooh. I made like a sauce and I like basically I cooked it in a sauce with like, you know, like mirin and soy sauce and ginger and garlic. I recommend that. I think that's very good.
I bet that would be delicious.
I would prefer to do it with pork belly. I think if I do it with pork belly, because with the pork loin, there's just not enough fat content, honestly. Yeah. The cooking kind of makes it suffer a bit for that.
But, I feel like you would also lose the delicious char siu flavor in the rest of the fried ingredients.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. But it's, you know, sure it's still nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, honestly, I was making the char siu for, like, I made 2 pounds of char siu, and I was I'll just use it for stuff. So I don't mind that.
I mean, I thought about, there was like one or two vegetarians at the party, but we had enough. I was like, you know, I could just do this without the pork belly, and it would still be amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, totally would.
Yep.
And yeah, I also, the bean sprouts, I can't recommend enough. They add so much to the experience.
It's a crunch, right?
Yeah, it's so good. And also, I just like the flavor of mung bean sprouts. They're just refreshing.
They are. It's the refreshing part. Yeah, it's weird. Like crispy, refreshing dirt sticks. They are a little earthy. Unless you super boil them or something. Yeah. But which I don't know, like having, the noodles, though, I really liked having the noodles in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm a big noodle fan. Any listener of Bottle Code knows I'm a noodle guy. Insert that one gif of Guy Fieri slurping a noodle over and over. I don't know. It's like the crunch and then the chew of the noodle. And then you got the crepe on the bottom. And then you got the sauce. The sauce, amazing. A lot of people, like, nobody knew what this was except for my one Chinese coworker, actually. And everybody ate it. I made like 2 large ones. I should have made at least 3.
Hmm.
It went pretty fast.
It's good, good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think that covers our Jackie's Chow segment, and thus that covers the show. I don't know. Are there any last notes we need to hit up, Nick?
You know, there's always something else, but that's what the next time is for.
Yeah, I guess we'll probably record another one of these in the not too distant future.
You never know. It comes and it goes. It's your passion project now. Right. Your impassion project, rather. It's whenever we feel like doing it. And I appreciate it. It's fun.
But until such a time, Nick, where can people find things of yours upon the internet?
My Twitter, as always, is at WeLikeSleeves. I've been a little, you know, sleeve silent as of late, but that's what happens sometimes. And that's
sometimes the sleeves go quiet.
Sometimes the lack of sleeve is the best sleeve.
That's the most horny thing you've ever said on this podcast.
I'm not Alan.
Jesus
I don't
Christ,
like
Nick. No, you like hands.
I like, no, grosser. Sleeves are not about the hand. I can't, delete this podcast. Sleeves are about that. It's not we like cuffs, okay?
Is it like elbows?
It's the whole. It's
do you hate sleeve. Elbows?
Elbows are fine. I mean, sometimes it's better for you to hide them. People like Jesus cover up those elbows. But, you know.
You don't like Jesus's elbows?
Nah, Jesus had some amazing. Do you see all the Jesus, the historical records we have of Jesus' elbows?
Usually amazing. I see him covered with like long flowing sleeves, so I can't quite see them.
Right? I mean, there's that one famous story about the handkerchief which Jesus used to wipe his sleeve.
And Jesus took his elbow and he blessed it and he broke it.
Yay. Sacrilege.
Woo. Yay, that shit fucking hurt. Ow. Mm-hmm. All right, well, before we offend more people, let's, you can find me on Twitter at SixStepMar. You can find Bottle Crow at Bottle Crow, and Bottle Crow Podcast is the email address you can send to if you like.
Indeed.
And that's the works, y'all.
We did it. We did. It's in the bag.
It's in the bag! And, peace out.
Sure.